Thanks, Radio Sport.
Faster, Mike, good evening. It is Friday the 9th of October. Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview. Lovely to have your company with me, where I'll be looking at all the sporting action happening this weekend. Coming up on the show, Ollie Lockley absolutely obliterated the long-standing Manx Marathon record, but was left disappointed.
Fitness-wise, I was absolutely fine, but my body was just letting me down. I just couldn't push through that kind of muscular pain.
The rugby community is paying tribute to two of its own who were taken too soon.
He always gave his heart on the pitch. He was never the best player, and I think he'd be the first one to admit that.
And Sam Spooner and Tony Meppham are in the studio with me, of course, to discuss what's coming up this weekend in hockey and football, all here on the home of Manx Sport. Thanks very much to Alex Watton for the news there, and thank you very much for joining me this evening. Now, last weekend, the 46-year-old Isle of Man marathon record was finally broken. Local runner Ollie Lockley solidified his place in the Manx record books while competing as an elite athlete in the 2020 London Marathon. He defeated Dave Cowell's 1974 Commonwealth Games time by 4 minutes. But Lockley said he was left unsatisfied.
There was a high dropout rate, and that was mainly due to muscle cramps. And I've never experienced muscle cramps during a race. And my right hamstring was really suffering, even at mile 8 or 9, which is very, you know, it's not far into the race at all. So, yeah, fitness-wise, I was absolutely fine, but my body was just letting me down. I just couldn't push through that kind of muscular pain, unfortunately. But I'm pleased I didn't drop out and still managed to get under the 2:21.
Marathon man Ollie Lockley there, and a huge congratulations to him. Now I'm delighted, as always, to have Tony Meppham in the studio with me to talk through tomorrow's football matches. So starting in the Premier League, we've got Rushen versus Meran, St George's versus Laxey, Douglas Old Boys versus Corinthians, Ramsey versus Ayr, Douglas Athletic versus St Mary's, and Peel versus Douglas Royal. So, Tony Meppham, firstly, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, the weather's not too bad, is it? And hopefully the pitches are going to be good tomorrow. I think there's a little bit of rain coming in tonight, but it's not too bad. A couple of them are a little bit soft, but no. At this time of year, we're in a happy place at the moment. Football, good.
Good. Good weather and football analysis.
Oh, fantastic.
So what's the match of the day to watch in the Premier League tomorrow?
Well, I think in the Premier League, there's a couple of juicy ones in there, but I think Ramsey against Ayr, it's one of them northern jobs, isn't it? And I'm pretty certain Ramsey Town will be bumping tomorrow night, because Ayr United done really well since they came back into the Premier League. And as well with Ramsey, I watched them last week against St Mary's, really impressed. And I think Ramsey could have a chance in this game. You know, if I hadn't watched them live last week, I would have said, no, it's going to go Ayr United's way. But after watching their performance against a really good St Mary's team, then they're in with a great chance. So I'm pretty certain that Andy Cooper, the manager, has said to his players, early to bed, let's be nice and fresh and let's have a right good game, a go at this game. And certainly at Ramsey Stadium at Ballacloan, it's going to be a fitting afternoon. I'm pretty certain there's going to be a large crowd there. But when you look at the others, Rushen against Meran. Meran needs some points from somewhere after getting beat by St John's last week. St George's Laxey, I expect St George to win that one. Old Boys at Corinthians, I hate to say it, but they're always a bit of a bogey side, Old Boys to Corinthians. So they've got to be careful of that one. But great result last week against Geordies. Athletic against St Mary's. You know, they've got to bounce back, Athletic, after that result last week, 5-0 against Royal. And Peel against Royal. Peel, what is it, 7 points, 8 points? You wouldn't have expected that at this stage of the season. And against Royal, it's going to be tough, but I expect Peel to win.
In JCK Division 2, we've got Castletown versus Jims, Onken versus Paul Rose, Maloo versus Braddon, Ramsey Old Boys, Ramsey Youth Centre versus Foxdale, Union Mills versus Michael, and Governors Athletic versus Douglas and District.
Well, I think the one they're looking at is Ramsey Youth Centre against Foxdale, because, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre still on top at Division 2, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but, you know, you just see Union Mills win, 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 but they did drop points against Youthy. But Foxdale, I think, need to win. And Maloo know that they've got a tough game against Braddon as well, and they need to keep the points coming in. So a real good battle. But when you look at the others, you would expect them to go as league tables show. But impressive performance last week for Jims against Colby. So we'll have to see how they go tomorrow against Castletown. But Onken Pulley, Onken, Maloo, Braddon, I'm going to go for Maloo. Ramsey Youth Centre against Foxdale, I'll go Youthy. Union Mills against Michael, I think Union Mills far too strong for them. And Governors Athletic against D&D, I think it's going to be a result for Governors Athletic.
In Combi 1, we've got Moran versus Rushen. Laxey are taking on St George's. Corinthians versus Douglas Old Boys. Ayr versus Ramsey. And Douglas Royal take on Peel.
Well, it's a team with maximum points, isn't it, Corinthians? And they're going really well. Old Boys, we'll see how strong they are tomorrow. St George's were beaten by Corinthians. So Corinthians will sort of take a lot from that, because I think St George's, Rushen and Peel are the teams you've got to take the points away from. But Rushen against Moran, victory for Rushen. And Ayr against Ramsey, I'm going to go for Ramsey just to win that one. And Douglas Royal against Peel, I think Peel will be too strong. And Douglas Royal won't take any points in that game.
And in Combi 2, we've got Jims versus Castletown, Braddon versus Malou, Foxdale take on Ramsey Youth Centre, Michael versus Union Mills, and Douglas and District versus Governors Athletic.
Well, Union Mills are just absolutely flying. It's just like the first team. And when you look at the other teams around them, they've just got to keep maximum points coming in to try and put a challenge on them. But, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre, you always look where they are. Onken as well, but Onken won't be playing tomorrow because Paul Rose don't have a combination side. So I just see another maximum 3 points for Union Mills and bridge the gap even bigger.
And just quickly, we had a couple of games on Wednesday. We had Laxey versus St George's and Peel versus Castletown. Were you able to see either of those?
I didn't see either of them because we've been busy at the FA this week, and to be honest with you, I haven't even heard the scores.
Okay.
So that just shows you how busy I've been. But
so
I'll take a guess. I'll take a guess that Peel probably won the second one and St George's won the first.
Okay, well, I will trust your judgment. But we'll find out for sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony Meppham. Moving on to hockey now, and Sam Spooner is in the studio with me. So we've got some feisty games coming up. Let's start in the men's prem. We've got Vikings B versus Saracens A, Backers A versus Backers B, Harlequins A versus Ramsey A, and Valkyries A versus Vikings A, which I'm assuming will be the match of the day in the men's prem.
Yeah, that's the one I've picked out for the game of the day at 2 o'clock in Peel. Valkyries A, you know, they always seem to be there, thereabouts. You know, they were top of the sort of mid-table pack. But nobody could really keep up with the pace of Vikings A and Backers A last season. It looks like this season is going to go the same way. So if Valkyries are going to prove anybody wrong, they've got to do it this weekend. They lost to Backers last weekend, so they've got to turn over Vikings this weekend if they can. I know the Vikings A lads, they're not taking anything for granted, and you know, last year, you know, maybe their composure and actually taking their games, taking it for granted when people thought they were going to win. So, yeah, this week I think Vikings A are going to win, but Valkyries will give them a good game for sure.
Let's talk about Harlequins just quickly. Difficult weekend last weekend. So how are they going to fare against Ramsey A?
Well, earlier on I was talking to Chris Cave, and I actually predicted a 5-2 win for Ramsey A, and that's no slant against Harlequins A. You know, Ramsey have got some good strength and depth, especially with their young players. Harlequins, you know, I think they are going to struggle this year. I think it's going to come down to between them and Saracens, so look forward to those games because they're going to be mighty games. But yeah, I think Ramsey will win this weekend, and I've even placed a score on that one, 5-2, and a little side bet with Chris.
Oh, nice. Okay. I hope you win. In the women's prem, we've got Valkyries B versus Castletown A, Valkyries A versus Ramsey, Saracens take on Vikings A, and Backers A versus Harlequins. So what's the match to watch out for in that?
There's not really one that stands above the other as much as all the others. The one that I would pick out personally is the Valkyries B versus Castletown A. Mm-hmm. Valkyries B have been really, really handy in defence. If you look back to the end of last season, they didn't concede a single goal all year. They won every game they played, and that defence seems to have sort of moved with them into the Premier League this season. They've conceded 4, most of which came from their first team, and they've scored 4. Which came against came in the first game. So Valkyries B are going pretty well, and I think they might provide a pretty stern test defensively for Castletown A. That being said, Castletown A, you know, they're scoring pretty freely this season. You know, they had 2 hat tricks last week from 2 different players. So
that's impressive.
Castletown A are flying high right now. I don't think they'll finish above Valkyries in the league, but you know, they're sitting in second place and they're there for a reason. So they're going to be a very, very difficult team to stop. So one of the meanest defences versus one of the best attacks.
Nice. Good combination. In the men's Division 1, we've got Saracens B versus Backers C, Castletown A versus Valkyries B, Packers Colts versus Ramsey B and Vikings C versus Harlequins B. Now, you flagged up Castletown A versus Valkyries B to be the match to watch in this division as well.
Yeah, and I think this is the game to watch for the whole through all the leagues, in all fairness. And this is the top two going head-to-head. Castletown have played one game less than Valkyries B. If Valkyries B win, they've taken a four-point lead on Castletown Menzies. And although Castletown A have got that game in hand, it's that psychological difference, you know, 4 points and 2 points. Castletown A, though, you know, they've welcomed back some of their older players into the fold. So Paul Kelly's scoring fairly freely, and Dave Clark Wilson, the captain, mentioned to me that the first team seemed to be all the young kids doing the running, whilst the old guys finish the goals, and it's working well for them this season. You know, and they've scored 13 goals. Valkyries B have scored 10. There is a bit of a class difference between the two sides with regards to. The likes of Valkyries, they've got four or five former Ireland players in there. You know, Neil Jacobs, Chris Caldwell, to name but two. And they are a very, very good side. I played against them last week and they were very, very difficult to stop. Castletown, very difficult one to call. And I know you're going to force me, and I'm going to say Castletown A.
Okay. Crushing for Valkyries B, but we'll move on. And finally, in women's Div 1, we've got Castletown B taking on Vikings B, Backers C take on Ramsey B, and Backers B versus Valkyries C.
Yeah, probably the most interesting game is Backers B versus Valkyries C. Valkyries C, although I don't think they're going to go on and win the league, they seem to be sort of sneaking up on teams, and I genuinely think they could be a threat to Backers B's, Castletown B's and Vikings B's any title ambitions. I mean, if they can get a point out of any one of them, then that's their seasons. You know, it puts them on the back foot for the week after, whoever they play. So, but Backers B really need to be really, really careful here. Valkyries C are quite a physical side and they enjoy playing that sort of hockey. So Backers B need to play their own game if they're going to win that.
And just quickly, who are you playing?
I'm playing for Vikings C tomorrow against Harlequins B.
Okay, how are you feeling about that?
It's nice plodding about in the C team with all the youngsters running around you, doing all the running for you. It's quite nice.
Yeah, and you like playing in the rain with.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Why?
Because you can slide about and not cut your knees to shreds mainly. Okay. But
that's fair enough. Anyway, thank you very much, Sam Spooner. Best of luck tomorrow. Okie dokie, moving on to rugby now.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, two rugby clubs are paying tribute to former teammates tomorrow. Vagabonds are hosting a fixture to celebrate the life of James Clarkey Clark, a former captain of the side, and that's being held at Bala Fletcher. Meanwhile, the Western Vikings community is holding a memorial event for Chris Fryer, who also passed away earlier this year. Club captain Ashley Howard and event organiser Ed Knight have been speaking to Dolan Mercer.
It's been a long time in the planning, but it is our way of saying goodbye and spending that time with his family as well, sharing it with them.
Ed, just talk us through what the plan is for tomorrow, if you could.
So we've got the game kicking off at about 2:15. Very much a friendly game, so it's going to be very light-hearted. Anyone can get involved. We've got all sorts of people who have and haven't played rugby before. Then after that, there's going to be some refreshments down at the Creek Inn on the quay, where there's going to be some drinks being given out in Chris's memory and, you know, a bit of a toast to him. And then after that, about 7:30, there's going to be an event where we're going to raise a load of money for Craig Hawkstrom Foundation. Well, it's just going to be a big laugh. We're keeping it nice and lighthearted. It's going to be a little bit of organised chaos where we're all going to be auctioning off a load of stuff. It's going to be a really, really good night.
I should declare an interest. I'm an occasional player at Western Vikings, very occasional and less frequent than I would like. Organised chaos is a bit of a theme in the club's history.
On and off the pitch.
Yeah. But a real community event, and his family are going to have some involvement too, I believe, Ashley?
Yes. Yes, it's a way for the club to have that tribute, but we still wanted them to be involved and remain involved with the club after this, because it's, at the end of the day, it's a community club, and we want everyone to be involved. And I believe they seem to be really enjoying it so far and getting into the spirit of it.
Yeah, they're all they all understand the organised chaos, and they want to have fun. And
the tone of the day.
The tone of the day. Yeah, that's probably the better way of putting it. They're all up for all the level of stupidity which is going to happen.
Club captain Ashley Howard and event organiser Ed Knight there speaking to Dolan Mercer, and Dave Christian will be at the Chris Fryer game tomorrow.
The Chris Fryer Memorial Game down at QE2 gets underway 2:15 down there at Peel. We've got members from Western Vikings Rugby Club, Castletown Rugby Club as well, and friends and family from Chris are turning up. Might be one or two from Ramsey as well. They've got a free weekend this week, so anybody who wants to come down will be made much, much, much welcome. Chris, very well respected and liked in the Western Vikings Club, in the rugby community at large. And it's an unusual weekend as well, because it's a five-year anniversary of Chris Scott sadly leaving us early. Chris was with Castletown Rugby Club, so that sort of explains the Castletown involvement in the Chris Fryer game. So it's a little bit of friendly social rugby more than anything else, the emphasis on participation and enjoyment, and of course the fundraising afterwards at down at the Creek in Peel, where there's going to be a Melier, and they've got some charity auction stuff to do as well. I think that's probably going to be done by raffle, but they've got some good stuff in there in the prize list as well, and that of course open to everybody else too. So if you're in Peel at the weekend, 2:15 down at QE2 for the memorial game itself, and then from 7 p.m. in the Creek afterwards for the other bits and pieces. Another memorial game ongoing this weekend as well is up at Bala Fletcher. James Clark, who sadly departed us earlier this year, again in the COVID lockdown, round about the same time as Chris Fryer, so it was a bit of a blow for the local rugby community, and for James Clark in particular. He was the captain of the Vagabonds Club at the time. Clarky was well known from all the clubs around the island. He's worked through Vagabonds, he's been coaching their juniors as well as captain in their senior side. He played in every position on the field, not because he had to, but because he could. He was that talented an individual. And memorial for Clarky, that's ongoing at Bala Fletcher from 12 o'clock tomorrow. 12 o'clock, there's junior games, I think, from under 10 upwards. And at 2 o'clock, there's a senior game, a Vagabonds 15 against a James Clark 15. And the Clarky 15 team sheet went up online last night. And it's a very strong team. That'll be a right old ding-dong up there. But everybody should have an enjoyable afternoon and raise money and raise a glass to their fallen comrade. So it's James Clark, Chris Kyant, Memorial Games tomorrow. One at Peel, 2:15. The other at Bala Fletcher, 2 o'clock.
Dave Christian there.
Manx Radio Sport.
And just before we leave, Tony Meppham is still with me in the studio, keeping me company. And I've got the addition of Chris Bass as well from FC Isle of Man. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, good, good. So let's have a little chat about the latest news for FC Isle of Man. What's been happening?
Not a lot, really. Obviously, Paul Jones is keeping in touch with the FA across the water there. And I think their season started last week. What I can tell you is there's already been a cancellation of, I think it was 5 fixtures on week 1. Whether that was due to the heavy rain last week or the virus, I don't know the facts. But then again, there's already a couple of games being called off this week in the FA Vars or FA Cup or something to do with, that is to do with the Vars. I mean, sorry, the virus. Mm. So it's very difficult for us, and I'm with Howard Quayle all the way. Whatever he decides, then we're going to stick to, because it's best for the whole of the island rather than selfish footballers getting themselves away and enjoying themselves and bringing the virus back home, which is not what we want, is it?
And I know it's completely out of our control, but how are the players feeling? Are they feeling disheartened, or are they just sort of taking it on the chin and cracking on?
I think initially, I think everybody was disappointed, because they'd done so well to build themselves up to play Guernsey twice and 2 good games against Guernsey. Then you really are looking forward to and building towards the start of the season. Now it's not going to happen. I think initially there was quite a bit of disappointment, but on the flip side of that, they're very lucky to be playing football every week in the Manx League. And if anything does come of the league position for us this season or whenever, then at least they'll be ready to play because of the fitness levels that they're maintaining playing for their clubs right now.
Training plans for FC Isle of Man, is that going to alter at all?
Until we hear something solid from the English FA, I don't really see us impinging on the club side of things. I think it's important that they get this regular football with their clubs. And as and when things change for us, then obviously it will interfere with what the clubs are doing now. Mm-hmm. But up until then, it's down to them to prove what they can do with us going to watch various games at the weekend and making sure that they maintain the levels that are required for us if anything does start.
Yeah, and I'm sure the local football community, MEPS, will be quite happy to have the players back. I mean, I know that there could... We did discuss right at the very beginning when FC Isle of Man was created that there could be some tension there with players going and then coming back and playing again. So what are your thoughts on it?
As a chairman of a club that's challenging for the league, I'm absolutely delighted. But I'm not for Chris, Paul, Burnsy and everyone else who's involved, because I think we all got ready for it. We're all there supporting it in different ways, but we knew there were going to be a couple of crossovers. And you know, we had it with when the boys travelled to Guernsey, and the first game of the season was totally different because the fixtures weren't done then, so we could sort that out. But the second game, when they went away, we couldn't do anything about it. And you know, to me, I felt sorry for Russian. They dropped points on that one. Corinthians got away with it. But it is what it is. You know, all the clubs accepted. But now that you've got the players at the moment, and you don't see an opportunity, I don't think, for the Isle of Man team, FC Isle of Man, to travel to England. I think the clubs know that they've got them at the moment. And the good thing about it is, and fair play to Chris and Paul and everyone else involved, is that they're not training as much. So it means that the players have got them, which is handy because they can work on them.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris and MEPS. And you can hear more from them coming up on Greatest Hits. And just quickly before I leave you, very best of luck to all those competing in the Albany Tennis Club Junior Championships tomorrow. Spectators are encouraged to go down and support. And that's at the Albany Tennis Club at midday, starting with the 8 and under mixed singles. And with that, our time is up. Thank you very much to all my guests tonight and to you, of course, for tuning in. Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits for you now, and I will be back with you tomorrow for the Classified programme on our AM frequency, and that's at 5 o'clock. And that's going to be full to the brim with all sorts. We'll have results, and it's also Mental Health Awareness Day, so we're going to be talking about that in sport, and also about a new era in women's cricket on the island. So until then, have a lovely Friday night, and I'll speak to you soon.